The adjustable rate mortgage is a bad deal. It was born in 1980 to 1982. Depending on the area of the country you live, that's where you first saw them appear. We were in the Jimmy Carter debacle, and we had interest rates of 17 and 18% fixed on home mortgages. And the lenders decided, never again are we going to get in a situation where the prevailing interest rate is 15, 16, 17%, and we have mortgages on the books of 7%. The very purpose of the adjustable rate mortgage is to transfer the risk of higher interest rates in the marketplace to you. They don't want to get stuck with low interest rate mortgages. They want to be able to up it on you when it comes along. So they bait you a little bit, give you a little bit of a deal, make it a little easier to qualify for those so you can get the one with the plant window and the jacuzzi. And you fall in a hole with a balloon mortgage that will pop, or with an adjustable rate loan. Don't do them. Myth. You need to take out a credit card or a car loan to build your credit. Truth. Open credit card accounts with zero balances count against you, as well as car payments, when qualifying for a home mortgage. If you're sitting there with a whole bunch of credit cards, nothing owed on them, all of those accounts are open, and you've got a perfect payment history, a mortgage underwriter doing their job will count that against you. Why? You are an accident looking for a place to happen. You're going to move in the new house, and guess what you're going to buy? Furniture, drapes, and new wallpaper. All on your credit card. That's the average behavior pattern of the average home buyer with a bunch of open, zero-balanced credit card accounts. So you're not building your credit. You got lied to. That's not how it works. Myth, you need a credit card to rent a car. Truth, the debit card that I have in my pocket will work at all major rentals with just a few exceptions. Be sure you check ahead in advance, but I fly all over America and rent cars every week. Virtually, I'm appearing somewhere, speaking somewhere, doing something. I simply reach into my pocket, pull out one of my two Visa debit cards on my personal account or on my business, and I can rent a car anywhere except a couple of the majors, and I don't do business with them anyway. They are too expensive. Myth. You need a credit card to check into a hotel, to make a purchase by phone or over the web. Truth, of course, we all already know that. A Visa debit card will do all of the above. Myth, I pay mine off every month. With no annual fee, I get brownie points, air miles, and a free hat. Truth, 78% of Americans do not pay off the balance every month. Someone's lying. As a matter of fact, another truth says, a recent Dun & Bradstreet study shows that when you're paying cash from your cash envelope system, you tend to spend less because it hurts. As a matter of fact, if you pay cash rather than with a piece of plastic, you will find that you spend 12 to 18% less because spending cash does hurt. Ouch. So what if you get back 1% and got a free hat? You're overspending. You do not register the pain when you pay with plastic, especially, ladies, in the grocery store. You will spend as much as 40 to 60% more in the land of impulse, the grocery store, when you're swiping out. Okay? This is not a game. These guys aren't, well, Dave, I get all those air miles. I hear that one all the time. That's so funny. Consumer Reports just did a study that says that 75% of frequent flyer air miles are never redeemed. Have you ever tried to redeem those things? I've got more of them than, it's amazing how many of those. Jupiter has to be aligned with Mars. I mean, you have to find just the right, and they have to have the right attitude, and you have to stand with your head just right, hold your tongue. Everything's got to be just perfect, or you don't get to use your air miles. And now some of them are even charging a fee to let you use your air miles. This is not a game, gang. This is not a game. We'll get 1% back, but you're overspending. 63% of the bankruptcy filers last year blamed credit in a recent study, and 89% of the people who filed bankruptcy are still getting offers within the year or the months following the bankruptcy. No one in here is shocked by that, are we? Because with 4.2 billion pieces of mail going out every year, we know these people are out of control in the offering of credit. They're offering credit to dead people. They're offering credit to dogs. There was a poodle in New Orleans the other day, offered $10,000 worth of line of credit. It was in the AP wire. The owner said, well, Don't think I'm going to let him get it, because he's a little wild as it is. A little scary. Of course, you can get the General Motors card where you get a 5% rebate. Now, let's do a little math on that. By the way, they max that out. They won't let you make more than $3,000 in most cases on this. So if you want $3,000 and $3,000 represents a 5% rebate, what that means is you had to spend $60,000 through your credit card to get $3,000 off of a new car, which will lose $7,000 when you drive it off of the lot. How many stupid things can we group in one transaction? These credit cards, man, there's something else. Rolling Stones was one of the first when this one came out from Chevy Chase Bank, one of the first affinity cards. Before that, we all had gold and platinum in our plastic, or titanium, or plutonium, or whatever, right? But this was the first of the affinity cards to get. We had 19,000 applications come in off of that 1-800 number when this appeared in USA Today in 10 days. 19,000 apps in 10 days to get Mick Jagger's lips and tongue in your wallet. The marketing of these things are absolutely crazy. It's gotten bizarre, hasn't it? It's a lot of fun. I collect them. This is the Purina card. Oh, there's Puppy. Look at little Fru-Fru. Oh. Your dog will always be at your side with the card that lets you put his picture here. If you want a picture of Fluffy, buy a camera. Besides that, it's false advertising because guess what? The American Kennel Club also will let you put his picture here, and if you don't like that, you can get the family portrait. Scary stuff. Of course, we believe in diversity, so we have the Morris the Cat MasterCard. I don't even have to make this stuff up. It's so stupid, okay? Morris the Cat, a dad advertising icon. Turns out he didn't have 9 lives. You will, however, need 9 lives. This is at 23.9%. Unbelievable. Of course, if you're a real bozo, you can get this one. The Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey MasterCard. P.T. Barnum is the guy who said, a sucker is born every minute. Of course, this is my favorite of all time, the crappy Visa. Enough said, I guess. Myth, I'll make sure my teenager gets a credit card so he or she can learn to be responsible with money. Truth, teens are now the number one target of credit card companies today, and anyone with half a brain realizes how stupid that myth is. It's gotten out of hand, folks. Citibank allocated $100 million to market plastic to your college and your high school seniors and juniors. When I do high school assemblies, I'm having 30 and 40% of juniors and seniors raise their hand as already have credit cards and credit card debt, much less car payments. In high school, this is becoming a way of life. It's become a rite of passage. I'm an adult because I have plastic. And let me tell you, it's getting younger and younger and younger. And the reason they're going after the kids so young is they have found what is called tremendous brand loyalty with your first card. The first person that gives you a card, you feel attached, emotionally obligated, like your first boyfriend or girlfriend. When I have a seminar and I'm cutting up cards up front, I'll have people come up and I'll cut up a bunch of credit cards, and then I'll look at them after I've cut up their cards. I'll go, okay, where's the rest of them? Well, I've just got one more, but I've had this one since college. And they're all emotionally attached. You tend to hold on to your first card longer because it says they were the first ones that said you were someone. Let me tell you, if you have a credit card, it doesn't mean you're someone. It means you might be breathing occasionally. You pass the mirror test. You could fog it up. You know what I mean? That's what it means. And it doesn't even necessarily mean that anymore. I have a full collection of them in my file drawer of cards that are offered to dead people on an annual basis. These people are out of control. They've gone crazy, but they have definitely gone after the children and after the younger and younger and younger. Now, they don't have a plan at this stage to put 6- and 5- and 4-year-olds in credit card debt, but they are starting to teach them and do what is called kiddie branding. Now, Kitty, branding is if they can get them to associate this with prosperity at a young age and their particular brand of plastic, as that child gets older, as soon as they see that brand, they remember that down in their subconscious and they'll reach for that. That becomes their first card, and again, they get tremendous brand loyalty out of this. So it has gotten out of hand. I found this just the other day on the back of a Raisin Bran box. Now, who reads the back of cereal boxes? Children. If you look carefully, it says Visa, the official card of Whoville. Tell me the Grinch isn't alive and well. Something's up here, isn't it? It's gotten out of hand. I found this the other day in my son's classroom in a public education setting. Oh, makes me angry in a whole new way. This is a company called Learning Resource. What a piece of trash. Wonderful idea. They had a good idea. They have a little solar-powered calculator. You can play and learn how to make change, which is a good thing because a lot of people in our culture can't make change. And, you know, and it's a good idea to teach my little 9-year-old, my little 10-year-old, my little 7-year-old, whatever, how to handle money. As a matter of fact, this is a homeschool product. For those of you that are homeschoolers, you see this brand a lot. The only problem I've got with this is not even that they had a credit card with it, because that is a part of our culture today. What I had a problem with was when I found Citibank had sponsored the toy, this learning aid. Now think about why Citibank would do that, because they're corporate giving citizens. Oh, bull. They want that kid to understand that's how you handle money, not with just a Visa, but with a Citibank Visa. And you understand, we produce products at our company, and we understand what product endorsements are worth. Do you understand, for that little sticker on the front of that piece of plastic that says Citibank, that these jokers probably have now a zero cost of goods sold in this thing? Okay? They kick their profit margins up to about 100% because of that little endorsement game there. It's greed, and it's wrong. Okay? We're going to have to wake up, and we're going to have to think, not only as adults, but as parents. These people are out of control. This little product here, Cool Shopping Barbie, she is now off the market. She came out Christmas of 97, and they pulled her off the market because of consumer advocates like me in the press, in the AP Wire and Reuters News Service, screaming bloody murder. Because the problem is, Cool Shopping Barbie, for an undisclosed number of millions of dollars Mattel received, was sponsored by MasterCard. She came complete with a little MasterCard tape to her hand. And of course, when they pulled her off the market, they didn't pull her off at Christmas. They waited till February. Now here's what happens when Cool Shopping Barbie scans out with her MasterCard. Credit approved, you airhead. Now, some of you folks think I'm a little over the top. You think I've lost it. But 19% of the bankruptcies that were filed last year were filed by college-age people. In the first 2 months of this year, there were 150,000 bankruptcy filings by people under the age of 25. Something's going wrong here. Elizabeth Warren of Harvard Law says what that statistic means is that the first major financial decision that these young people made was to declare themselves a failure. Something is wrong with this picture. Yet Consumer Reports recently reported that the number one sweeping curriculum on personal finance in high schools and junior high schools today was written by and sponsored and furnished by Visa. Talk about letting the fox in the hen house. Well, I've got good news. We have our own new financial peace high school and junior high school curriculum, and we're going to take these turkeys on head on. Myth: debt consolidation saves money and you get just one smaller payment. Truth: debt consolidation is a con. It doesn't work. Debt consolidation typically saves little or no interest because you throw your low interest loans into the deal as well. And when the math ends up, you're not really winning. You can't borrow your way out of debt is the truth, and smaller payments actually equal more time in debt. Why does debt consolidation usually not work, even if the math worked? Well, because you didn't change the behaviors. Personal finance is 80% behavior. Debt is not the problem, Larry Burkett says. It's the symptom. It's the symptom of having no emergency fund when the medical bills came, so it went on the credit card. It's the symptom of having this little kid inside of me that wants to buy something, and I let him buy something whenever he wants. I impulse my tail end off. It's the symptom of being out of control. If you don't fix that, you can't borrow your way out of debt. It won't work. Debt consolidation is America's attempt at microwaving their debt problem. And what happens 78% of the time is you take your credit cards, you move them over onto a home equity loan as a debt consolidation loan. You don't change your habits, and the credit card debt grows back. Now you're double in debt. You've got a mess, and you line up for something even dumber, like 125% mortgage. Let's figure out if we can owe more on our house than it's worth, and then try to figure out how to sell it. What's wrong with this stuff? Can you begin to see that there are some myths that have been spread, that this is not the truth? Myth, our final myth. Debt is a tool, Dave. Debt properly used is a tool, and it will help you create prosperity. Nope. Debt is proof that the borrower is slave to the lender. Well, Dave, you're a wacko. You're just out there. No one believes this anymore. I mean, anyone with any sophistication knows you should use OPM, other people's money, to build wealth. Dave, what's wrong with you? No, you got to stop and think, gang. I've been on this cabbage truck before, okay? I know what you're thinking. I've read your mail several times throughout this whole event. Think about it. I know exactly how this stuff goes down. Remember, we have to do what rich people do if we want to build wealth. So let's study a few rich people. You know what the Forbes 400 is? The 400 wealthiest people as rated by Forbes magazine in North America. Rich people. Not your broke mother-in-law or your banker with an attitude. These are the 400 wealthiest people in North America. I don't care what your broke finance professor thinks. It's not up to him. I want to talk to people who have some money. When surveyed, 75% of the Forbes 400 says that becoming and staying debt-free is the number one key to building wealth. The truth, folks, is this. If you don't have any payments, you have freed up your largest wealth-building tool, your largest wealth-building asset, and that is your income. When you have your income available to you, the truth is, you can build wealth. It won't be instant. You won't look cool for a while. And the weird thing is, by the time you have the money to look cool, you don't care to look cool. It's an amazing idea. When you get to where you can do anything you want, you don't care. I walk through the shopping mall these days. I go, you know, I could buy anything in here, and I just don't want any of it. It took away the desire. You know, if you eat enough lobster, it tastes like soap. Think about it. If you didn't have any payments, how much could you save? How much could you invest? How much could you blow? How much could you give? But the problem is our hope gets stolen by this debt. We have believed these myths for so long. You'll always have a car payment. You have to have a credit card. You need to build your credit. You need to help out others by loaning the money. We've believed these myths for so long, and it has beat us up so bad that we now have started to lose our hope. I remember when I was growing up, we moved out to the country. That's what we called it. We had 4 or 5 acres, I think it was. And I was moving off to college, but my little sister, who was in high school, decided she was going to get into rodeo. Her game was to ride those barrels for a time. Have you ever seen them do that? You know what I'm talking about? Do you? Yep. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, and so Daddy bought her a horse to ride the barrels, a quarter horse. His name was Bubba. Well,
I don't know what that says, but we'll have to think about that later.
So after a while, she got bored with that, and she decided she was going to enter another kind of an event. And this event, you may have seen it on television. It's kind of like calf roping. The calf roping in the rodeo circuit is where the cowboy is sitting on the horse. The calf is released. He's running out through there. The cowboy is riding after him. He lassos the calf. Calf is running, has no idea what's going on. The cowboy ties off on the saddle horn. The horse is taught to stop and start backing up. The calf is just running. Cowboy leaps from the saddle, is running towards the calf. If he times it just right, just as the slack runs out and the calf goes, weenie-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee. He takes him, flips him back upside down, ties his feet together, holds his hands up for a time. Have you seen that event?
Yes.
Well, my little sister entered an event similar to that, but they didn't make these little high school girls try to flip those big old calves. They instead had goat roping. Now, you laugh, but they were serious. They were hat down over the eyes serious, had a bumper sticker on the truck, says, "I'm a goat roper." I mean, serious about it. So we figured that Barbara needed a goat to practice on, so we bought her a goat and we named him Practice. True story, we had practiced the goat all summer that summer, and Bubba and Barbara practiced on him. I remember the first time they saw old Practice out there, the little cowboys had him by his ears, they gave him a kick, he's running out through the field. You know that Tennessee heat, man, that humidity in that field, it's wild. Practice is going, "I'm not a goat, I'm a gazelle, baby, I am out of here. I've seen her in that rope. I'm gone," you know, right? Here goes Barbara and Bubba. They've been practicing, right? And they drop that rope right on Practice's head. Bubba stops. Barbara ties off. Bubba's backing up. Barbara leaps from the saddle, is running towards Practice. He has no idea. The rope runs out. Weenie-nee-nee-nee-nee. She takes Practice, flips him upside down, ties his feet together for a time. He says, "What happened? I thought I was a gazelle. I must be a goat." Well, I've got to tell you the sad truth. The sad truth is, in the Tennessee summer heat, with the humidity boiling up, they did that to that goat 15, 20 times a day, all summer long. They wore a bare spot in the field, flipping and tying Practice. Now, I'll just tell you, goats are not real smart. But eventually, old Practice began to catch on. I saw him, he's running out through there. He saw that bare spot, he said, "Whoop, pain, I'll just stop here." He finally got where he'd run out there, stop, and lay down. We told her if we could just get him to tie his own feet together, she could win every event, you know? The truth is, inside of every goat, there is a gazelle that could escape. But the sad truth is that Practice began to believe the myth. He lost his hope. He ran out there and gave up and became a goat. I don't want you to run out there, lose your hope, and give up and be a financial goat anymore. Don't believe the myths. The Bible says in Proverbs that hope deferred makes the heart sick. See, if your boss came in Monday morning and you didn't have any payments, no house payment, no car payments, you didn't owe a soul, and your boss came in Monday morning and started going, you just start walking off. Where are you going? Don't have any payments. And I have found a trick to getting out of debt. We are going to walk through the steps, six key things for getting out of debt. But coated over the top of those is this trick. I found it accidentally. I started observing it from people who have come through this course. I started observing it from people that called me on the radio. I kind of study language these days because I'm in talk radio. And so I listen to what people say and how they say it. I would have people call up and say like, "Hey dude, tell me like your strategy, your theory, maybe sort of kind of to get out of debt." And I say, "Well, it won't work for you." "Why?" "Well, you don't have a clue yet." "What do you mean?" "I don't know what I mean, but I can just tell." Then I'd have another guy call up and go, "You know, Dave, I'm getting out of debt. I sold my wife yesterday, and I'm getting out of debt. I'm serious. And you hear a change in their voice. You hear an intensity. And I'm seeing people get out of debt much faster than Sharon and I did. It took us what seemed like forever. But I have people call on our radio show, send me letters from this course, and they say, Dave, I paid off thousands of dollars, $60,000, $80,000, $20,000 in 6 months, in 8 months, in 12 months, in 2 years. And Dave, I paid off everything but my house. Dave, I've even paid off my house. I get these amazing stories in fairly short periods of time. And I discovered what it was intensity. I actually found it in the Bible. I knew it was in there. I just didn't know where it was. I read through Proverbs. There's one a day. So I read one every day because there's 31 of them. And you just eventually you begin to get a little bit of that in you. It's really a good business textbook for those of you that are in business. A lot of wisdom in there. And I was reading one day and I hit Proverbs 6. And to paraphrase what Proverbs 6, 1 through 7 says, if you have signed surety, my son, surety is a Bible word for debt. If you've gone into debt, do this, give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids, and deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now, I was reading that, and I thought, well, now that's a nice little biblical metaphor, and maybe little animals there in the Sunday school class, and we can kind of use that in church. And then I was scanning with my little TV one night, and I looked up there, and on the television were the gazelles. They were out there gazelling around. And, of course, if the Discovery Channel is there, you know that the gazelles were not there by themselves. Mr. Cheetah was there also. And you know, the truth is, Mr. Cheetah, he's in the bush, he's creeping along, he's looking for lunch in all the right places. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but every gazelle has right behind his right ear a cheetah detector. And I watched on the Discovery Channel that night as Harold the gazelle, his cheetah detector went off. He went, cheetah. And the other gazelles went, hey, dude, Harold's cheetah detector went off. Because see, if you're a gazelle, you don't run until you see where Mr. Cheetah is. Because you might be running at him, right? Now, Mr. Cheetah, he's in there going, looking for lunch. And he goes, cheetah detector went off. Can't a guy catch a break? And he comes out of the bush after lunch. And the fastest mammal on dry land is trying to have lunch. The Discovery Channel says the cheetah can go from 0 to 45 miles an hour in 4 leaps. This thing is amazing. The gazelles go, cheetah! And they all split up, and you notice they don't run a straight line because they can't outrun him. What do? They bob and weave, right? Bob and weave, bob and weave. Wah! And the funny thing was, the Discovery Channel told us that night that the gazelle is only caught by the cheetah 1 in 19 chases. Of course, on the Discovery Channel, it's 1 for 1. But isn't it interesting that God says that's how you're to get out of debt, to deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter? Turns out God's a pretty smart guy. Go figure this. So what we're doing is we're in prayer, right? We're going, Jesus, get me out of debt, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I won't be stupid again, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Just get me out one more time, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then you go to the mailbox and there's a Visa card and you go, thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus did not send the Visa. The correct response is to pull out the Visa card and go, cheetah! So how do you get out of debt? Let's look at 6 steps that absolutely work. But you have to do them with gazelle intensity. This running for your life, focused, Rocky music, Adrian. I mean, you got to be going for it, right? You got to be doing this thing. It's like, I'm going to wander out of debt. It's not going to work. You have to turn into the Hulk. You have to make things happen. Nothing moves unless it's shoved. You got to go crazy. You do these 6 things with gazelle intensity. The first one's the hardest. Quit borrowing more money. Just stop. Draw a line in the sand it is time to have plastic surgery. I want to have a very ceremonious plastic surgery up here today, representing all of America. We're going to start with Diners Club since they started it. Then we're going to move on to Providian, who I have a special place in my heart for because of the way they talk in their collections department to my clients. We're going to move on to a platinum card with First USA, see if we can make him second. These bad boys, Citibank, who have allocated so much money to go after the teenagers, let's see if we can make a little design on him. Next time I go shopping at Sears, I guess I'll have to use cash. This in honor of James Cash Penny, J.C. Penny's. Of course, we wouldn't want to go to Macy's either, would we? And now we won't be able to have any more American excess. Well, I guess if I go to Texaco or Shell from now on, I'll have to see if they take cash. What an idea. But Dave, I pay my... Don't go there. We've covered that. Here's an idea. Maybe we can short circuit Circuit City. Maybe we could discover freedom. Now, I don't know, guys. This one hurts right here. You think we can do Home Depot? I'm not sure I can do this without crying. This is Victoria's Secret. They take cash. Oh, man. It's time, folks. It's time to have a plastectomy. No Novocaine required. Quit playing with snakes. You will get bit when you play with snakes. I have sufficiently given you the evidence. The question is, are you so entrenched in your cultural paradigm that you can't hear truth? I don't know. Some of you heard it. Some of you might not have. But the way you get out of debt is you first stop borrowing more money. And I'll tell you, as soon as you do that, the devil sends Murphy to visit you. Something will happen, won't it? We're down to one car. The Jaguar had to leave. They were going to take it if I didn't let it leave. So it left. We have a brand new baby and a toddler. We're broke. You may remember the story. It's in the middle of summer. The air conditioner's out in our house, and so my wife has a special hairdo. Looks somewhat like Rambo who has been in the jungle, okay? Sweat everywhere. This is not a pretty picture. I come home. She says, I want a car. I said, honey, we're not borrowing money. I want a car. I might need to take these kids to the doctor. No. We're not borrowing money. Borrower, slave to the lender. I want a car because I might want to leave you. No, we're not borrowing money. I was at the office the next day whining. Some of you whine. I think it's a little known form of prayer. And I was talking to one of my friends. I said, you know, you think God would help me get a car? I've promised not to borrow money. And you think he'd step in and help me out? And another friend of mine walked in. He said, you need a car? I'll loan you. I've got an extra car. And it was a little too pushy. You know, it's like the guy in high school with a sister with a great personality. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's a Cadillac. And I said, thank you, Jesus. That'll work. Now, the Cadillac part was true, but that was it. We went over to this house, and hillbilly doesn't cover this, okay? We're talking weeds this high around the Cadillac. I've been driving a Jaguar. Now, I'm looking at weed buggy here, okay? The predominant color on this puppy was Bondo. We get the sickle out. We're cleaning the weeds away. I finally get in the seat, and I put the key in, and I am praying. I am saying, God, please do not let this engine start. Because I know the federal law. You know the federal law, right? The wife gets the good car. So I'm going to be driving Bondo buggy if it starts, right? I don't want to drive Bondo buggy. I'm going, please don't let it start. Please don't. I just touched the key. That thing went brrrr. Must have been 60, 80,000 angels in that engine going, no. Man. So I drove Bondo buggy up out of the weeds. I'm driving it home. Worst part about this thing, true story, the old vinyl roof was torn loose across the front. So when you drove it, it filled up with air. Oh man, I just talk about humility. I remember pulling up at a really nice intersection in town. You know, the cops are following me, right? I pull up, I stop, the top's settling, you know. I look over, this friend of mine and his Mercedes is laughing at me going, ah, 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 ah. I'm going, yeah, ah, 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 I get you. Yeah, ah, 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 ah. You know the drill. Hey, I drove that car for 10 years, 1 3-month period. I mean, it just stretches out when it's bad. It's funny now. I'll tell you, it wasn't funny then. But you know, we could have gone and borrowed money and rebuilt our credit, but we'd had enough. The borrower's slave to the lender. You see, you don't have enough that I want back in those things again. Never again. No way. No how. We don't borrow money on our business. We don't borrow money in our personal lives. It was tough. It was hard. But it was worth it. It's a good walk. I'm on the other side of the wall. I'm yelling, come over here. It's nice. Climb. I know you'll fall. I know you'll bang your leg up. I know you'll get calluses on your hands and bloody your hands as you climb those ropes. It's worth it. Come on over. You got to look at it differently, though. How do you get out of debt? Well, you have to save money. Do you remember what baby step one is?
$1,000 in the bank.
Good. You see why we do that before we get out of debt is, if you cut up your credit cards all over the place, you go out there in the parking lot, your tire will be flat. You'll be back in here going, where's the crazy glue? You know what I mean? You'll be making decisions that are wacko. So that $1,000 catches life's little things because before your credit card was your emergency fund. And it has to stop. So you have to save money. The third thing is prayer really works. The Bible says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The good news is He owns the hills. And when you start handling money right and you start talking to Him about it, you know what? He'll start blessing that and honoring that. If you keep handling it wrong, He's going to keep it away from you because you're going to mess yourself up worse because He loves you. Talk to Him about it. He's crazy about you. He's just waiting like a parent waiting on a kid to grow up a little bit so you can trust them with a little bit more responsibility. He's just waiting. And some of you are 56 and He's been waiting a long time. Sell something. Sell so much stuff the kids are afraid they're next. Have a garage sale. Fill up the classified ads. You got enough junk in your life to knock off a bunch of your debt. There's enough stuff hanging around that is messing up and messing with your life that you could get free pretty quick if you just amputate. It's hard though, isn't it? It's hard. Get a part-time job. Do this just temporarily. I don't want you working all your life, triple, extra, double, triple. But I had a young man named Isaac, 23 years old, call me in May of last year. We were doing a bankruptcy theme hour on our radio show. And anytime I do that, I kind of crawl out of the studio because the weight of the pain that those people are in, it just gets all over me. And I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, so I know how it feels. And it just guts me emotionally. I dread seeing that bankruptcy theme hour come up on the screen that we're going to be doing that. But yet it's necessary. And this guy calls me up and he's, Dave, I'm losing weight. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't think about anything but this debt. This debt is overwhelming me. It's everything. I'm obsessed with it. Dave, I've got to file bankruptcy. I've got to get this off of me. I can't handle it anymore. And I'm in there with him, man. I'm compassionate. I'm thinking. And then it suddenly hit me. How old are you, Isaac? 23. Isaac, how much debt do you have? $6,000. I said, Isaac, do you like live at home? Oh, yeah, I couldn't afford anything. I've got all this debt. I said, how many hours a week do you work? 20. I said, Isaac, I got good news, man. It's May. By Christmas, you're going to be debt-free, and you're going to take your mom and dad on a cruise for letting you stay with them, and you're going to pay cash for it for Christmas. That's going to be your deal. You're going to do all of that from May to December. Are you ready for the plan? Get a pencil. He said, I can do that. You really think I can do that? I said, I know you can do it, son. Here's what I want you to do. As soon as you get off the phone, I want you to go straight to the pizza place, and I want you to get a job delivering pizzas. Right after that, you leave, you go over to the newspaper place, and I want you to have a job delivering the afternoon paper before you go to your pizza job. And at 3:30 a.m., you deliver the morning paper before you go to your construction job that you're going to go get next. Isaac, I want you to go get 4, 5, maybe 6 jobs, honey. I want you to work about 80, 90 hours a week till Christmas, and then go on that cruise because you're going to be tired. My grandmother says there's a great place to go when you're broke to work. It's a surefire money-making scheme, you know? What an idea. And he said, well, Dave, I wouldn't want to be a workaholic. I said, honey, I don't think that's an issue you're going to struggle with. The last step to getting out of debt is to understand and use the debt snowball. Now, the debt snowball, we're going to pay off everything but your home using this, and this is going to be baby step 2. Baby step 2 is the debt snowball. Are you ready to tell me baby step 2 is?
Debt snowball.
Good. Okay, now let's look at it. How does the debt snowball work? What we do with Joe and Susie is we list their debts, smallest to largest. We pay minimum payments on everything but the little one. And then we attack the little one with gazelle intensity, with the extra job, with the stuff we're selling, with the pennies we're rolling. Ah, ah, we get that little one. When that little one is gone, we knock off JCPenney's with that garage sale. We don't owe that anymore. So we take that $15 payment there and we add it to that $10 Sears payment. That $10 Sears payment then, what it'll do is become a $25 payment because 10 and 15 is 25. 11 months later, Sears is paid off. During that time, that Visa bill there will also have paid off. This is if you don't pay anything extra except a garage sale. Watch this. Now you take that Visa bill of 75, you add it to the 25. The 25 and 75 is 100, but we don't need to do that, right? So we take the 100 and we add it to the 90. You see, each time you pay off a debt, you take the payments from before, add them to your regular payment, the snowball rolls over, picks up more snow, and as you get to the bottom, you're making huge payments. By the time we get to the bottom on that student loan of $65, we're paying $465. So every time you pay one off, attack the next one down, minimum payments. Well, Dave, wouldn't it be proper mathematics to list these largest interest rate to smallest? Honey, if we were doing math, we wouldn't have credit card debt. Okay? This is about behavior modification. This is about going on a diet and losing weight the first week. You go, yeah! But if you go on a diet and gain 3 pounds, you're saying, hey, Oprah, babe, the cabbage thing, it's not working, right? We got to do a little different deal here, okay? You're starting to think through this. Now, what you're doing is you're modifying behavior by giving yourself positive reinforcement. I want you to have some quick wins. Knock out that little one. You go, yeah, put it up on the refrigerator. Draw big red lines through it as you knock them out. Yeah, another one down. And then you call me on the radio and go, debt-free freedom when you get out, right? Because when you don't have any payments but a house payment at the end of this, you'll be able to do some of the other things we're talking about, like finishing your emergency fund, which is the next baby step, like investing for your kids' college, when we talk about that in that session, like building and doing some things to change our family tree. But the problem is I can't even get people to think about funding a Roth IRA because all they can think about is funding the bank. That's what happens when you're a goat instead of a gazelle. That's what happens when you have a slave's mentality. You lose your hope. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's not good enough. I won't stand for it, and I won't have it. It's not going to happen in my life anymore. I'm tired of having these young couples in our offices and their marriage is just hanging on by a thread because they're just at odds with each other. They're about ready to kill each other over this financial stress all brought on by a bunch of stuff and the debt that goes with it. It's craziness. It's gotten out of control. It's time to get focused and gazelle intense and attack this stuff. Attack it. Kill it. Get it out of your life. And then later, you'll be able to own and buy anything you want. You'll be able to help others. You'll be able to be in a position to change your family tree and leave a legacy. Thanks.
It's never even crosses our mind anymore to open up a Visa. Because, oh, we need the money. Because we have the money in savings if we need it. I mean,
I've been fighting alligators rather than draining the swamp. And I'm learning how to drain a swamp, and it feels pretty good.
You pay off that first bill, it's like shackles off my feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
When you start using cash instead of the credit cards, I don't know if you still use, you will feel like you have so much more control.
She said, you know what, Mama? She said, ever since I've known you, which is 32 years, you've always been in debt. And she said, don't you think it's about time for you to get out of debt? And I think it's time for me to get out of debt.
If you have debt, then it affects everything in your life. Right. And you can't move forward as long as you have that debt.
In less than 3 years, we can be completely out of debt and really start working toward building some wealth before we would have been in debt eternally.
I just cut up my Visa Classic card. It's the only one I had. But it felt so good. He let me hold them scissors and I cut it with everything I had.
Credit cards reek.